Side Hustle Stacking, how one income stream can turn into a whole lot more. What's up? What's up? Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, because your 9 to 5 may make you a living, but your 5 to 9 makes you alive. The one idea that I've advocated for on the show is this: simplify first, diversify second. You gotta have something working first before you can even worry about diversifying. But this is an episode about that second part. How do you know when it's time to diversify? When is it time to branch out? How do you add a side hustle to your side hustle? And how can one income stream unlock more? Today's guest is a pro at this, with several projects all stemming from an original blog. In fact, we covered that blog's origin story 10 years ago on the show. That's crazy. From Pinch of Yum and food blogger pro York Ostrom. Welcome back to the Side Hustle Show.
10 years. Maybe we can schedule it. I'll put it on my calendar.
A little more frequently.
A decade interview, and we'll see like which one of us in our 70s is still showing up with the podcast in front of us recording episodes.
Yeah, episode 6,000 and something. The Where Are They Now update.
Our seventh interview in the once a decade series. It's great to be back, Nick. It's been fun to see your journey. It's awesome. I just love that so much of this is continuing to show up every day, and you're such a great example of that. So it's fun to be here with you talking about all things entrepreneurship, side hustle, business building. Let's do it.
Well, it's been a blast to be able to do what I do and get paid for it. I think it's the best job in the world. Yeah. Now, we're playing around with a new format this week. We're calling it 3 rounds with Bjork. Round one is this idea of side hustle stacking. Round two is the donate a business idea round, a business you could start today, something that ought to exist into the world. And business, or round three, rather, is the triple threat, a marketing tactic that's working right now, a favorite new tool or new to you tool, and Bjork's favorite book from the last 12 months. And we're going to start off with round one, stacking complementary entrepreneurial pursuits. You've started a ton of projects, Pinch of Yum, the original food blog, Food Blogger Pro, helping other food bloggers get started and grow in the space, WP Tasty, like Pinterest plugin, the new one, clarity.com. Let's start with the first spinoff, which was, I think, Food Blogger Pro. Like, talk to me about the origin of that.
Pinch of Yum is a food and recipe website and social media accounts, primarily personal brand. So it's my wife, Lindsay, who's producing that content, publishing that content online. We monetize those through traditional advertising. We work with an ad network called Raptive. We also work with sponsorships on Instagram. So Lindsay has 1.4 million followers on Instagram. And so she has a lot of attention there. What happened was 14 years ago when Lindsay started Pinch of Yum, she was really interested in all of the same things she's interested in today: recipe development, photography, storytelling, connecting with an audience. And by chance, I was interested in the things that were really complementary to that. So like business development type stuff, search engine optimization, growth tactic type stuff, and also just some of the more boring logistical things that need to happen behind the scenes for food and recipe sites or just a business in general. And so what ended up happening is we had this great pairing. And for a while, I would write about kind of the business side of building the site on Pinch of Yum. And from that, we got a lot of other creators who followed along with our story because they were also trying to figure it out. And so I would write a blog post and say, hey, here's the things that we learned about how to use an ad network or the things that we learned about search optimization. Eventually, we had enough people following along there where we're like, there might be something here to like create an actual community around this group of people. And that's where Food Blogger Pro came in. So we launched that probably 3 years after starting Pinch of Yum. That was in 2013. And yeah, we've kind of done different versions of that along the way where we've seen an opportunity and then we create a business around that, all within the niche of publishing and usually with a focus on food content.
I mean, it's interesting because it's like, well, lots of people teaching you how to blog, but a lot fewer people teaching you how to start a food blog. And so it's, I'm going to take this tiny segment and become the go-to person, the go-to source in this tiny little niche. And I think it's something that you've done really well. And in response to, well, yeah, you kind of went the proactive route and you put out content on this and started to build a critical mass of following and questions and answers around that. But saying, okay, I'm not going to build it first. Like, I'm going to almost pre-validate it very inexpensively. I mean, it takes your time to create that kind of content, but not going out and spending 8 weeks filming a course or something and then trying to go out and sell it.
Yeah. And we actually sold access to the course before we had built any of it. So it was like the ultimate pre-validation.
Okay.
Hey, we're going to sign up. I think there's maybe $10,000 that came in. We kind of used that money to seed the initial round of building the website. So yeah, it was exactly that.
And so it was originally course, membership, content. What else was there or is there today?
Very similar. There's deals and discounts for certain services, subscriptions that would be beneficial for people in the food space. There's a forum, there's training. We do live Q&A, so we'll have an industry expert. We had somebody who has a Pinterest agency, and Kate All from Simple Pin Media comes on and is like, here's the state of Pinterest, and here's what's happening in Pinterest. We might do that with SEO or food photography. So it's really industry-specific things. And anything in the world of publishing, podcasting as an example, or Instagram, there's a subset of that where you have to be different in terms of your strategy based on the type of content that you're producing. And so we kind of cover all of the different things that you'd need in order to build a food and recipe following online, and all the different strategies from the artistic things, food video or food photography, to more of the technical things, like what does structured data for search engine optimization look like for a food site? So that's kind of the what we cover from a content perspective, and do that in multiple different ways.
So now lots of drama in the Google world in terms of algorithm updates in the last several months. Like, are you seeing new food bloggers weather that storm and like be able to compete with some larger sites and build up their EEAT and everything else that Google is looking for in ranking new content, new food content in particular?
All across the board, we've seen and talked to people who have been like, shoot, this is a real bummer because I had worked hard for 5-10 years. I'd built up really great following and traffic, search traffic. Google pushes out an update and they're like, it's the helpful content update. And they're like, I have really helpful content. And I've been creating content that feels like it was in line with what Google would recommend, and somehow they're penalized.
Yeah.
And that's a huge bummer. And you also see people on the other side where it's like an update comes out and they benefit from it. Traffic goes up. In our world, we've seen both. We've seen people who have been hurt by it, people who have benefited from it. I think a better way for us to frame Food Blogger Pro, and there probably is a rebrand in our future, is like Food Creator Pro. Most of the people who are coming to us now are like a social media platform first. They grew a following on Instagram. They grew a following on YouTube. They grew a following on TikTok. And now they're starting to think more holistically around like, hey, I should also build a site so I can point people somewhere.
That's an interesting evolution over the last 10 years where it's like the blog may be a component of it. The website may be a component of it, but it's probably not the main thing anymore. Or, you know, it's a piece of the pie rather than the main thing. That's a really interesting shift. So kind of the Food Creator Pro is maybe more accurate going forward. All right. So that is side hustle stack number one, basically like taking something that's already working, pinch of yum, and answering some of the questions. We want to do what you did, right? If we were to go down the same path, guide us along that way. So Food Blogger Pro becomes a thing, validated with pre-sales, like very low risk, right? You knew there was an audience for it. What was the next product or whatever that stacked on top of that?
To speak to that real quickly, I think this is me speaking to people who are listening. My guess is there's a subset of this group of people who are kind of exploring what is going to be my side hustle? What am I going to do? One of the things that you can do, and this is what we did, which helped us build another business, was as we were trying to figure out the current business that we were in, we were creating a business. And so when I talk about doing kind of some of those state of the business reports, the first one we did was like, our site earned $20 and here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get that to $40. Like, we were documenting the process. I think there's an opportunity even for people who don't know what they are doing to start the process of doing their thing by documenting their journey into it.
This is the work in public thing. This is a common unlock. Even going back to Matt Boknock, it was repairing motorcycles in his garage as his side hustle, but sets the camera up in the corner, you know, filming himself doing the repairs. Now he's got over 100,000 YouTube subs. Like, it's become, the content has become a thing more than, much more than turning wrenches ever was.
Yes. So, and I think it becomes a flywheel in that it's also a great advertiser. Like, for somebody who sees him working on a motorcycle, you start to know him, you trust them. And so it's like, maybe I'll bring my motorcycle there and get it fixed. Or like, you see that with like people who do a car detailing business. And the other thing, though, that I think it does, and I think this is really valuable is that it's a little bit of a pressure system that forces you to refine your process, your skills, your expertise, because you are being documented. And for him, my guess is he's a better motorcycle repairman because of the fact that he sets a camera up and records himself doing it. And so not only does it become a great advertiser for you, not only does it also become potentially a business where you have subscribers, but I think even if nobody showed up at your business and nobody subscribed to you, you still would probably be better at whatever it is that you're doing because you're going through the process of documenting it. So I feel like it's worth pointing out in a consideration for people who are listening and kind of in that exploration stage, that there's value in you working in public or whatever it might be.
Sure.
So the next thing for us was we had Pinch of Yam, we had Foodblogger Pro, and then we had these two software services called NutriFox and WP Tasty. NutriFox was a nutrition analysis website. WP Tasty was a WordPress plugins business. I say was, they still exist, but we sold those. So we built those companies and we sold those companies. They're no longer part of what we have as our kind of holding company, which is TinyBit. So we sold those, it was about 2 years ago. But that was the same thing. We noticed that there was a need for us to have certain functionality within our website. And so we built a tool. In this case, the bigger company was the WordPress plugins business that allowed us to do the things we wanted to do. And then what we did is we packaged those up as plugins and then sold those to other WordPress site owners. So we were going to go through the process of creating it anyways. And then it made sense for us to package those up and offer them as a product themselves as well. So that was the next thing in kind of the journey.
All right. So we're hitting on lots of common themes here. We have the document the process, work in public, good things can happen. Next, we have the solve your own problem, scratch your own itch kind of idea validation phase. Were these pre-sold prior to development, or is it like, hey, we're going to build this anyways for our own use, and then we can sell that license to somebody else?
Yeah, these weren't pre-sold. So these were, once we had it to kind of like what we would consider a helpful, functional point, we offered it as a product that people could buy and sign up for and use. And, you know, it's like a slow build. And then you build it up, then you have a team. And we had somebody in the role of general manager who would oversee the day-to-day. We had a contracted developer that we worked with to do those, who eventually was W2 for a little bit. And then a customer support team as well.
What came next? What else have you stacked on top of this expertise and authority in the food blogger space?
So the other noteworthy one would be a site called Clarity, C-L-A-R-I-T-I.com. And that was our first play into going beyond food. Like, it's great for people who have a food site, but it's not only for people who are doing food content. And essentially, Clarity is this hub that brings in WordPress data, it brings in Google Analytics data, and it brings in Google Search Console data. And then it allows you to sort and filter and understand your content in a really easy way. And an example of something that you could do is you could sign up for Clarity, and then once all that data is brought in, you could look and say, hey, show me all of the content on my site, posts and pages that have images without any alt text, which is like best practice. You want to have alt text on your images. Okay. And you'd really quickly be able to surface that and see that. Or you could say, show me any content that has broken links. Like, you have a link on the page, but it's broken. Or another one that's really important, show me pieces of content on my site that don't have any internal links from other pages on my site. So it's almost like you can do kind of a little mini audit with it. And so that's a tool that we've been really excited about. We've been working on that for a few years. We use it ourselves day to day. That's a true like software as a service SaaS tool.
And you don't have to be in the food blogger space to use it. Anybody with a website that's been around any length of time, like, this is kind of one of these ongoing projects, like the site audit project. Well, what posts don't have any internal links? Like you said, what posts don't get any traffic anymore? Like, do we really need this progress report from Q3 2015 anymore? Like, you know.
And a huge part of it, to your point, like, oftentimes with a site like yours or a site like ours, you've been publishing content for a lot of times. You might look back and be like, gosh, we posted this article on, like, in our world, this like pre-made cookie dough that we really love. It's like, that's just not what, we didn't actually do that. But like, that would be an example of like a post and it probably doesn't get any traffic. We should just delete it. It's kind of, to use the garden analogy, for people who have been publishing content for a decent amount of time, sometimes the strategy isn't like you have a garden and you're just going to plant more into it. The strategy is like you're just going to really pay attention to the plants that you do have, the posts and the pages, update those, make sure they're healthy, reshare them with your audience. And that's going to be one of the most strategic things you can do as a content creator, is really treating your existing content well, going back and updating it, making sure that it has everything that it needs, as opposed to just churning out new content. And so Clarity is kind of built with that in mind, where there's a new wave of content creation, which is updating and maintaining existing content as a priority, oftentimes alongside creating new content.
Yeah, totally. There's usually a better ROI, or maybe a more predictable ROI, in updating that old post that had dipped a little bit in rankings than rolling the dice and trying your hand at a completely new post that may never make it to page one. So I'm with you there. More with Bjork in just a moment, including three ways you can identify whether that new project is worth pursuing or if it's just a distracting shiny object. That's coming up right after this. They say the only constant is change, and right now, nothing is changing faster than the world of AI. If you're like me, you're pretty sure there's a way to get more done with the help of AI, or at least accelerate some of your existing processes, right? But you're not sure where to start, and you don't want to get left behind. Enter the next wave. If you're AI curious and want to learn how to implement it in your business, The Next Wave is the podcast you got to check out. Last year, we did a whole episode on AI side hustles with Matt Wolf, and he's one of the co-hosts of The Next Wave, helping break down the latest trends, tools, takeaways, and guidance on how to actually implement this stuff into your world. So let Matt and his co-host Nathan Lands be your on-demand chief AI officers. The Next Wave is a weekly show with key insights, examples from lots of different industries, and practical advice on how to work smarter. So make sure to check out The Next Wave in your favorite podcast app or on YouTube and give it a listen. When you're hiring, it feels amazing to finally close out a job search and hit the ground running with your new hire. But what if you could get rid of the search part and just get matched with qualified candidates? Well, now you can with our sponsor, Indeed. It's simple. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. The matching and hiring platform is trusted by over 3.5 million businesses worldwide to connect with great talent faster. And 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. For my next hire, I'm using Indeed to tap into a talent pool of 350 million unique monthly visitors. And what else is cool is Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use it, the better it gets. And how about this? Side Hustle Show listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show. Just go to Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Side Hustle Show. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Now, the question with all of these projects is, how do you know? Maybe we should just double down on what we're already doing. Like, what if we poured all that time and effort and energy into Pinch of Yum versus starting a course and community versus starting software businesses versus doing all these plugins? How do you know what's a shiny object versus what could be a meaningful second income stream?
One of the questions you can ask is like, is the adjacent thing making you better at the first thing? And in the case of Food Blogger Pro, the answer to that was yes. Like, it for sure requires us to take time to like spin up a membership site and to sell that. And there's a lot of considerations around just what does it look like to create a thing. But it's different than if we had gone and started a shoveling business or snow removal business is maybe a better way to say it. We're in Minnesota. And so like you could easily start a snow removal business. But one of the things that happens, and one of the reasons why it's easy to continue to do it, is just as an example, like I get on a call once or twice a week, just like this, you and I, and I have a conversation with an expert on how to be better in the world of food publishing. And like, that's extremely complementary to what we're doing. It's kind of like I'm doing these consulting calls, really. Like,
okay,
somebody's saying, here's how to do search optimization better for recipe websites, or somebody is saying, here's what's working well on Pinterest or Instagram or TikTok, or here's a strategy that you should consider. So I think that's one of them. Like, if you can create an adjacent thing that is making you better at the first thing, there's not as much risk in lost ROI, because chances are it might be that the thing that you are doing is actually making you better at the first thing. So I would say that would be the one consideration.
So trying to find something that's complementary or it makes sense.
Yes.
It's on the shoulder of the thing you're already doing versus being completely out in left field.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think the other thing is sometimes it actually is just better to keep doing what you're doing and to go deeper on it and to get hyper-focused on it. And I would say there's one reality where both Lindsay and I are obsessively focused on Pinch of Yum. In that reality, just purely from a finances standpoint, there's a high likelihood, like if I were to bet, my bet would be financially, we'd be in a better spot if that was who we are and how we operated. Like if we didn't do anything else and we just hyper-focused on growing Pinch of Yum.
Yeah.
I think the two considerations within that are, number one, we have to consider who we are as individuals. And who I am is like, I really love 0 to 1. I love starting a thing. I love building a thing. And if I'm going to show up on your podcast a decade later and still be excited to talk about this stuff, I'm going to have to be doing things that make me excited. And for me, it wouldn't have been going super, super deep on like SEO for a food site and a recipe site. Like that's an important
consideration.
Trying
to eke out your incremental 5 or 10% every month. Like,
yeah. And it would have been great if that was me. And I think that financially would have been probably better if that was true, but it's just not who I am. And So I think that's a huge part of it. Like, how do we continue as creators, as entrepreneurs, as business owners to like continue to show up inspired every day? That's a factor in our success and needs to be considered. I would say the other thing is there's something to be considered around diversification. And in the world of anything online, It can change really quickly. And we've seen that. You talked about helpful content. Like,
yeah, you're one algorithm away.
One algorithm away, yes.
You know, if I'm relying on Pinterest, then the rules changes. I'm relying on
Facebook.
Google, and then the rules change.
Instagram,
right.
You build a big following on Instagram.
Yeah.
And so there's all these different layers of diversification. Like within the Pinch of Yum ecosystem, we have an email list. We have an Instagram account. We have the blog itself. Like all of those are kind of mini diversifications that we've had within that system. But then we also have like a membership site in Food Blogger Pro. We have a software service. So there's a certain level of diversification there in the online businesses. But then we also do commercial real estate. And that's like another diversification into something very different. It's like brick and mortar. It's slow moving. It's antiquated industry. Like,
that's interesting. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah. So that's like, I would say
it's like taking some chips off the table and
100%
putting it into something that is completely uncorrelated to the online business.
Completely uncorrelated. Yeah. It's like there's a Pizza Hut and an Edward Jones, and like those are our clients, and they're probably not going to be affected by an algorithm in the same way that like we would be with Pinch of Yum. Again, though, to your point, I think it's a really valid one. And if you are somebody who can go deep and can focus and you find something that works, keep doing that. If you can continue to like stay engaged and interested in it, it sounds like that's kind of one of the beliefs that you have. And I would like affirm that for anybody listening to say, like, before you go out and like diversify like crazy or kind of stack these businesses like we talked about, just continue to like drill. If you strike oil, continue to get that oil until it's all gone.
Yeah, yeah. Get while the getting's good.
I think some people are like, oil, this is awesome to have oil. I wonder if I can get oil over here. And then you go and drill and it's like, oh, you could just continue to stay where you were and just continue to go deeper, which is a lot easier than like drilling somewhere else. And so I think to the extent that you can be somebody who does that, I would say go for it and continue to do it. And I think it's really wise to continue to go deeper as opposed to trying to like spin up a correlating thing, especially to do that too soon.
Yeah, no, those are really helpful. So the shiny object test was number one, is the adjacent thing making you better at the main thing? Like,
yeah,
okay, is it going to be complementary? Is it going to be I think Tim Ferriss put it this way when he's starting his podcast. How do I make it a win for me, even if I lose, even if nobody tunes in, right?
100%, yeah.
Number two was consider who you are as an individual. What do you like doing? What are you most excited about? What are you curious about? I think that really hit home for me. And that's the reason the show still exists 11 years later, is it's still interesting and exciting to learn about different side hustles. And finally, this diversification play. Like, I want to continue to get while the getting's good, but I also want to take some chips off the table. Maybe you allocate 5%, 10% a month, like put it into something. How can I get paid over and over again from this work that I do once, something that's uncorrelated, unrelated, and just build up this other little piece of the income pie over here. Those are all really good.
Yeah, totally.
Well, that was round one, side hustle, stacking, incremental income streams, all that fun stuff. Round two is donate a business idea. So I'll kick it over to you. If you had time for something new, what would you start?
The thing that I really like to think about is, what is an industry that is evolving? What is an industry that is trending? And then what are the tools that that industry needs? What are the support mechanisms that that industry needs? There's this rise in people creating content. You're one of those people. I'm one of those people. We now have like multiple friends who have built creator businesses. And these aren't friends like that we became friends with them because they were creators. We were friends with them. They became creators. And now that's what they do full time. Like, it's just people are doing this as a job. And what we're seeing is these solopreneurs, these kind of independent business owners, have these really specialized needs for people to come alongside them. And there are people building those businesses. So an example is our friend Landon. He shoots video for us, Pinch of Yum. He also shoots video for his friend TJ, who does birth order humor on TikTok and Instagram. Like, middle child does this, older child does this, has like multiple millions of followers. But there's all sorts of different specific needs that creators have. And so one of them might be, you are an expert in file organization. And that's just always what you've done really well. You have opinions on it. And you're really good at creating organizational structures for a remote team that has significant media assets. I spent probably a week researching this. Okay, we have video files, we have photos, we work with a remote team. Where do we store this? How do we back it up? How do we make sure that we can access it easily across our remote team? We have, at this point, 90 terabytes of data stored online. How do we back that up? What's the most affordable way to do it? There's an entire industry that somebody could build around being the expert on online media storage, backup, and transferability. How do you get access to that? You could develop opinions on it. You could teach people on it. You could educate people on it. People could just hire you to do it. Google Search Console is an example. Google Analytics is an example. Or maybe you're just somebody who loves analytics and you get really good at understanding TikTok analytics and you work with creators to partner with them to help them see, like, hey, this did well. Here's why we think it maybe did well. Or this did well. You need to make sure that you're capturing any of the audience in this video by doing these things. So it's like, what are the support mechanisms you can build an adjacent expertise within that realm that can fast track you to revenue by having it be service-based or productized service?
Right, agency-based, much faster than like than the typical...
to be a creator, totally. Which takes a really long time to build that up.
Okay, so broad strokes strategy is looking for a growing industry, looking for a gold rush, essentially, to sell shovels into, right?
Yeah.
In this case, talking about lots of people getting into the content creating space. What are the shovels I could sell to these people? The picks and shovels, just like a gold rush analogy. Maybe it's video editing, like Justin Tan was doing Video Husky. We had him on the show. It could be a podcast editing service. It could be this Google Analytics plug. It could be this remote data backup. That sounds really technical. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe more so 9 or 12 months ago. Like, building, can you just make it look like Google Analytics, Universal Analytics?
Yeah, right.
I don't want GA4. Like, can you just make my dashboard look how it used to look and give me the same reports that I used to get? Maybe there would have been something around that. But so that's kind of, if you had to start over looking for this content creation gold rush and then picking a service that you already know how to do, and could apply that to somebody else's business. Let's move on to round three, the triple threat. First off is a marketing tactic you see working right now.
Yeah. So this is probably the least juicy marketing tactic that you'll ever get, but it's just like manual outreach. We're in the stage of building the podcasting advertising. Like we're just building up kind of a client list. And one of the things that we found is like to send an email to somebody and be like, we're working on this thing. We're interested in having you be a partner. Would you want to jump on a call and like talk through potentially working together as a partner? And within that, like I'm also starting to do some of the sponsor content for Pinch of Yum. The significance of getting on a call with somebody and saying, what are you trying to do? Has been incredibly helpful for us to work with somebody and say, hey, we can be a partner with you based on what you are trying to do. An example is we're working with we won't talk about it yet because we don't have the contract signed, but like a travel-based agency. So like every state has like a travel-based group that they have money and then they encourage people to like travel to that state. We're working with one of these groups and we went to them and we said, they reached out initially. And so my first interaction is like, can we get on a call? And one of the main thing that I'm trying to do isn't selling them on working with us. It's understanding what they're trying to do. And once I have a clear idea of what somebody's trying to do, it's so much easier to say to them, here's how we could potentially work together based on your interest in getting exposure to this unique area of the state that people might not be aware of. Like, and the point is, like, sometimes I think in the world of online business or digital sales, we forget that one of the most effective mechanisms that we have is the ability to connect with somebody, to have a conversation with them. It's not efficient, it doesn't scale, but it's been extremely helpful for us.
But that's why people don't do it. You know, that's yeah. Like, can I plug it into my form letter and blast out to 500 people?
Right. But it's been extremely helpful for us. And it also has helped like with repeat clients. And we even with our software service, like with Clarity, we're trying to think about how do we actually connect with people more and interact with people more as opposed to try and figure out how to do it all with like email and chat or marketing that you see on Facebook. And so for anybody who's in the early stages or in the middle of kind of building a thing, as much as possible, I would encourage you to have conversations. Like that's maybe the marketing hack is like talk to people because it will really refine your product, but it will also, I think, accelerate your ability to partner with somebody for you both to accomplish what you want to do. For you to sell a thing, to create revenue, and for a business owner that you're working with or like a brand that you're working with, maybe it's exposure, maybe it's getting a problem solved, whatever it is that you're selling, just having that conversation is extremely helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it doesn't necessarily scale, but at the beginning, you're just trying to get off the ground.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that yet. Get somebody to say yes to you first.
Yeah.
Yes to a conversation, yes to buying your thing, yes to working with you. No, that makes sense. How about a favorite new tool or new to you tool that you've been liking lately?
You'd think that we'd have used these tools more often because we're in the world of like SEO, but I've just started to like more deeply start to use Ahrefs, A-H-R-E-F-S, which is a search optimization tool, allows you to understand kind of keywords and whatnot. So that's been one that I've started to spend a little bit more time with. We've always had an account. We've always used it, but like just starting to think a little bit more strategically with it. The other one that I've really loved lately, Mint closed down. And so this sounds like a personal finance kind of consumer app, but, and it is, I think technically, but I've started to use an app called Monarch Money. And it's actually one of the original product managers from Mint that started the site, raised a bunch of money. Earlier, I referenced one of the things that I have in my vivid vision is like, we make this much and we spend this much. And I want to have a really good understanding of what that is. And so I actually have two Monarch Money accounts. One is every single business account It's commercial real estate. It's our businesses. It's our personal accounts. It's all of our investment accounts. It's like an estimate on the value of the businesses as well. It's all rolled up into one account. And it's kind of like the hub for everything that we have. And I categorize everything that comes in, like organize it. The other thing that I have is an account that is just our personal budget. Like, how much are we personally spending in our family every month? And I use those to have a beat on like our holistic across the board, all the different businesses. What does that look like? And then like including Chipotle and the new bike that we bought for a daughter and like our mortgage, like when all of that stuff is rolled up, tennis ball machine that I just bought, like what does it look like on a month-to-month basis for what we're spending personally? And what that's been helpful for is to see like, okay, we're making this much within the businesses. Here's what the cash flow looks like, including all the business expenses. That's one Monarch account. And then the other one is just personally, how much are we spending? And what's interesting with that is like, you get to a point potentially where you'd have, they talk about the 4% rule. And it's like, I think financial freedom for a lot of people would represent you get to a point where you have your investments and those are worth a certain amount. Let's say you have $1 million across everything. And let's say in your personal life, you're spending $40,000. A lot of financial experts would say that 4%, you're kind of at like a break-even point where you're financially free. You could live off of that $1 million forever. And so those two accounts allow me to kind of have a read on what that looks like. So that's the other tool that I've really liked is Monarch.
It's funny that you mentioned that. I've been loving it too as kind of like the financial dashboard. Yeah, they've actually been a sponsor on the show this year.
And so look at that. Like the ultimate. Yeah.
I swear I didn't pay Bjork to say that. But no, it's really cool as like that financial snapshot, the monthly cash flow, the net worth, like, and you customize it like to the metrics that are important to you. And right now I may have to separate it out because if you have kind of like the business and personal, like all combined into one, but maybe it makes sense to separate that out to get.
Yeah. Well, and even for me, like one of the things that's nice to have separate is like, we'll have a quarterly tax payments. And so like four times a year, we'll write a big check. And then what I struggled with when I had just one account was like, do I count that as an expense or do I not? Like, I wanted to have one that was purely like, this is how much we're spending based on the things that are needed to sustain our lives, as opposed to we have a tax payment. It's like, technically that's an expense, but it's only an expense because we had income. And that feels better to put it in the bucket of like everything as opposed to just like personal spending.
Yeah. All right. So Monarch Money, we'll link that up. Ahrefs, longtime fan of that SEO software as well. How about the best book from the last 12 months?
One of the books that I've been slowly working through, Dan Martell, who is a kind of software SaaS expert, wrote a book called Buy Back Your Time. And I mean, it kind of sounds like what it is, which is how do you think strategically about as an entrepreneur who has a lot of things, business owner, or as just as people in general, like busy people, how do you think strategically about buying your time back by working with other people or outsourcing things? So it's been a helpful read.
Absolutely. And it's funny, it's like a work in progress. We're still working on this stuff. This is where I first met Bjork.
Yep.
2012, 2013, probably. I don't know, some affiliate conference. I'm hosting
sitting
this
table together.
On how to work with virtual assistants. And so we're still working on buying back our time, baby.
Totally.
So,
all these years later.
Absolutely. We'll link that one up as well. Pinchofyum.com. You can find them over there. Food Blogger Pro. Of course, the new Clarity.com software for optimizing your existing content. Clarity.com. Let's wrap this thing up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation 2024 edition.
This comes back to actually the name of our company, which is TinyBit. TinyBit is based on this premise of showing up and getting a tiny bit better every day forever. And I think that you hear this quote often, but people overestimate what they can do in a year. They underestimate what they can do in a decade. I think it's really cool that we are having this conversation at that kind of decade mark. It's really incredible. And I think that for anybody listening, no matter where you are in the journey, but especially if you're in the earlier stages, the first few years, I would encourage you to think about how can you show up every day and think about how can I just get a tiny bit better? Like, what is the thing that I can do to improve a tiny bit today? And how do I continue to do that in pursuit of my goal, defining the game that you play, over a long period of time? And I think that's the key to unlock major success. And the kind of interesting observation with it is oftentimes those major successes come not because of one sprint, but because of the marathon that you engage in and show up every day doing that. So it's the name of our company. We believe in it. So it feels like I have to leave it as like the one tip to end things.
I didn't know if that was a reference to bits and bytes, but tiny bit. Get a tiny bit better every day.
Yep.
Very similar. 2014, you said 1% infinity. Get 1% better every single day, infinite times. And
it's still what we're all about. The biggest difference is that we named our company after it.
Yes. It's the compound effect. And in the early days, okay, 1% doesn't feel like a lot. But
yeah,
over the course of a year, over the course of 10 years, it has incredible compounding power.
Yeah.
In fact, that's my son's middle name. It's Kaizen. It's the Japanese word for 1%
awesome.
Infinity, like continual improvement. And I kind of like,
I love that.
Want to get like a little tattoo of the characters because it's something I've been thinking a lot about lately.
That's cool.
Get a tiny bit better every day. Bjork, been awesome. Again, thanks so much for joining me. We'll have to do it before the next decade is up.
Yeah, you can send a calendar invite for 2034. It's almost hard to say.
Yeah. Like I'm already bald, but even more gray, I'm sure, at that point. If you're tuning into this, make sure to check out the original episode from the archives. If you can even scroll back that far, we'll link that up. If you're not sure what to listen to next, I want to invite you to grab your personalized playlist at hustle.show. Thousands of listeners have already claimed theirs. How it works is you answer a few short multiple choice questions, and then the machine is going to spit back out this custom curated playlist of the episodes that are going to be most relevant and impactful for you based on those answers. So again, that's hustle.show. You can do it on your phone and add those episodes to your device to listen to next. Big thanks to Bjork for sharing his insight. Big thanks to our sponsors for helping make this content free for everyone. You can hit up sidehustlenation.com/deals for all the latest offers from our sponsors in one place. That's it for me. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. And I'll catch you in the next edition of the Side Hustle Show. Hustle on. As a Side Hustle Show listener, I know you're driven. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. But I also know you can end up hustling and driving yourself into exhaustion, overwhelm, and even burnout if you don't stay anchored to why you're doing it. That's why I want to recommend another podcast that will massively support your side hustle. It's called What Drives You with host Kevin Miller. Kevin's a former pro athlete. He's a lifelong entrepreneur who started 19 different businesses. He's a father of 9 kids, an author, and a mountain adventurer as well. He knows both the glory and the dark side of drive and has devoted his life to helping people who want to drive further, faster, but also enjoy the ride every single day. He brings on today's most influential people in personal and business development to see what drives them and get their guidance on the key ingredients that power our own drive. If you want to fully harness your drive and find peace and fulfillment in the process, go find What Drives You with Kevin Miller wherever you listen to podcasts.